This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to have a difficult conversation when English is not your first language. A practical guide for non-native speakers facing hard workplace conversations. In short, having a difficult conversation in a second language is not just a communication challenge. It is a pressure test on vocabulary, tone, and nerve all at once. Prepare a clear script in advance. Use plain language over complex phrasing. And know that pausing to find the right words is a sign of care, not weakness. Definition: a difficult conversation in English, for a non-native speaker, is any direct workplace exchange requiring emotional precision, assertiveness, or conflict resolution conducted in a second language. It demands clarity of message and control of tone under conditions that amplify self-doubt and slow word retrieval. I once watched a skilled engineer lose a project assignment she had earned. She had spotted a serious flaw in a colleague's approach. She knew exactly what needed to be said. But when she sat down to say it in English, the words came out jumbled, hedged, and so softened by apology that the message disappeared entirely. Her colleague walked away thinking everything was fine. 3 weeks later, the project hit the wall she had tried to warn against. Having a difficult conversation at work is already hard. Doing it in a language that is not your own adds a second battle on top of the first. You are managing the emotional weight of the situation while simultaneously searching for vocabulary, monitoring your accent, and second-guessing whether your tone reads as direct or rude. That is an enormous amount to carry into a single conversation. This guide is for people who have something important to say in English and need a working process to say it well. Why a second language makes difficult conversations so much harder. When you speak your native language, communication runs on instinct. In a charged moment, you reach for words without thinking. In a second language, that automaticity breaks down exactly when you need it most. Word retrieval slows under pressure. The phrase you practiced at home vanishes the moment the conversation gets tense. You find yourself reaching for simpler, blunter words because they are the ones you can locate quickly. And those simpler words can land harder than you intended. Or you overcorrect, filling sentences with so many qualifications that your actual point gets buried. There's also the cultural layer. What counts as direct and professional in one language can read as cold or aggressive in English. What reads as polite and respectful in your home culture can read as evasive in a Northern European or North American workplace. You are not just translating words, you are translating norms. I have seen people with 20 years of professional experience shrink in these moments. Not because they lacked courage, but because the tools they relied on, their fluency and their instinct, were suddenly unreliable. That is not a character flaw. It is a completely understandable response to a genuinely difficult situation. What you need before you start. Before you enter any difficult conversation in English, two things must be in place. The first is a written preparation, not notes. An actual script for the opening 2 to 3 minutes. You do not need to script the whole conversation. You cannot control it once it starts. But you need to know your opening by heart, because that is when anxiety peaks and words are hardest to find. The second is a clear purpose. Know what outcome you are seeking before you open your mouth. Are you raising a problem? Requesting a change in behavior? Addressing a misunderstanding? Your purpose shapes every word choice. Without it, you will wonder. And wondering in a second language is where conversations fall apart. If the topic is genuinely sensitive, consider telling the other person in advance that you want to talk. A simple message the day before, "I would like to find 20 minutes with you this week to talk about the project timeline," removes that ambiguity and gives you both time to prepare. This is not avoidance, it is respect for the conversation. For more on how to open these exchanges without derailing working relationships, the guide on how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy is worth reading alongside this one. The 6-step process for having a difficult conversation in English. Step 1. Write your opening in plain language. Sit down the night before and write, in plain English, the first thing you will say. Do not reach for sophisticated vocabulary. Plain is clear, and clear is what you need. A strong opening does 3 things. It names the topic, states your intention, and sets a calm tone. Here is an example. "I want to talk about the deadline we discussed on Tuesday. I have some concerns I would like to share, and I hope we can figure out a way forward together." That sentence is simple. It is also complete, direct, and non-threatening. Any professional in any English-speaking workplace will understand it immediately. Step 2. Practice aloud, not in your head. Reading your script silently and speaking it under pressure are entirely different experiences. Practice out loud. If possible, record yourself. Listen back. Does it sound natural? Does your tone match the message? You are not memorizing lines. You are building muscle memory so that under pressure, the words come more easily. This is the same principle as any other skill repeated practice under low-stakes conditions prepares you for high-stakes moments. Step 3. Name the situation, not the person. When the conversation begins, describe what happened, not what the other person is. The report was submitted 2 days after the deadline, and it affected our ability to present to the client is a stronger opening than you were late with the report. The first is observable and specific. The second feels like an attack, and it puts the other person immediately on the defensive. This distinction matters even more in English, because blunt subject-verb constructions, you did X, can sound harsher in English than equivalent phrasing in many other languages. Describing the situation gives you accuracy without aggression. Step 4. Use a three-part structure to stay on track. Even if the conversation goes in unexpected directions, return to this structure when you can. Number 1. What happened? A factual description of the situation. Number 2. The impact, how it affected you, the team, or the work. Number 3. What you need? A clear, specific request for what comes next. The feedback on my proposal came 1 day before the board meeting. That did not give me enough time to make the changes you suggested. Going forward, I would like at least 5 working days between feedback and submission. This structure keeps you anchored. It also keeps the conversation productive because it moves from the past, which cannot change, to the future, which can. If you are working through a conflict with a colleague, the DEAL method for resolving team conflict offers a complementary structure worth pairing with this approach. Step 5. Slow down and use pauses deliberately. In your native language, you can think and speak at the same time. In English, under pressure, you may need a half second more. Take it. Pause before responding. Pause when you are looking for a word. Use that pause to breathe and locate what you actually want to say. Phrases that buy you time without undermining your authority. Let me think about how to put this clearly. I want to make sure I say this accurately. Give me a moment. These phrases signal care, not confusion. They tell the other person that you take the conversation seriously. Most people, when they see genuine effort, meet it with patience. Step 6. Confirm understanding before you close. Before the conversation ends, check that you have both understood the same thing. In a second language, words can be heard differently from how they were intended. What you thought was a firm agreement may have been received as a possibility. What you meant as a concern may have landed as a complaint. A simple close sounds like this. I want to make sure we are on the same page. My understanding is that we will revisit the timeline by Friday. Is that what you took from this as well? This is not weakness. This is precision. It protects the conversation you just had. When the conversation happens remotely, video calls strip out body language signals that help non-native speakers enormously. You cannot read the room as easily. Lag and audio quality add friction. The pressure to fill silence is higher, which pushes people toward rushed language. For remote difficult conversations in English, follow these additions. First, request a video call rather than a phone call. Faces help more than most people realize. Second, turn off your self-view. Watching yourself speak is distracting and increases anxiety. Third, send a brief follow-up message after the call to confirm what was agreed, because remote conversations are the most vulnerable to misinterpretation. The guide on how to handle conflict during meetings covers several techniques that transfer well to video settings when a difficult conversation has to happen in a more public forum. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. 3 mistakes that undermine the message. Over many years working with people across multilingual teams, I have seen the same 3 errors appear again and again. The mistake: over-apologizing before saying anything of substance. Why it happens? Non-native speakers often use apology language as a hedge, hoping it softens the message and makes them sound less aggressive.
What to do instead?
Begin with the situation, not an apology. Reserve "I'm sorry" for moments when you genuinely caused harm, not as a verbal cushion before an honest concern.
The mistake:
using vague language to avoid seeming difficult.
Why it happens: reaching for indirect phrasing feels safer when your vocabulary is limited, but vagueness produces misunderstanding, not safety. What to do instead?
Choose the simple, specific word, even if it feels blunt. "I disagree" is clearer and more professional, but I'm not entirely sure this is the best approach.
The mistake:
rehearsing so rigidly that any deviation causes panic.
Why it happens:
preparation becomes a script you feel you must follow exactly, and when the other person says something unexpected, the whole plan collapses.
What to do instead?
Prepare your opening and your structure, not a word-for-word script. Know your three-part anchor and return to it when the conversation drifts. The core framework for staying grounded in tense workplace conversations is particularly useful for non-native speakers because it gives you a mental anchor when the conversation goes somewhere you did not plan for.
Your preparation checklist. Use this before every difficult conversation in English.
Number 1. Write your opening 2 to 3 sentences in plain language and read them aloud at least 5 times.
Number 2.
Identify the 3 parts of your message: what happened, the impact, and what you need.
Number 3.
List 2 or 3 phrases you can use to slow down or buy time if you lose your words.
Number 4.
Decide what a good outcome looks like so you know when to close.
Number 5.
Plan a brief follow-up message to confirm what was agreed.
Number 6.
If the conversation is remote, test your audio, turn off self-view, and have your notes visible on screen.
This checklist takes 15 minutes.
The conversations it prevents from going wrong take far longer to repair.
Understanding what drives difficult conversations in the first place, such as unmet needs or unspoken expectations, also shapes how you prepare.
The article on how unmet needs drive team conflict explains the dynamic clearly and is worth reading before a conversation where the tension has been building for a while.
When you are in repair mode: sometimes the difficult conversation has already happened badly. You said less than you meant, or more than you intended, and now there's damage between you and a colleague.
This is not the end. A repair conversation follows the same structure as their original name: what happened, acknowledge the impact, and state what you want now.
The difference is that you are adding one element: responsibility.
"I did not explain myself clearly last week. I want to try again, because the working relationship matters to me."
Plain, specific, direct.
That is the whole of it. For situations where the breakdown between colleagues has gone further, the bridge method for rebuilding relationships after tension offers a structured path back. And if a colleague is refusing to engage at all, the deal method for diffusing tension between uncooperative colleagues gives you a practical sequence that does not depend on the other person's willingness to meet you halfway. The real advantage you already have: here is something I have observed over 60 years of working with people across many languages and cultures. The person who has thought carefully about what they are going to say, and who chooses each word with intention, is often more precise than the native speaker who is improvising on instinct.
Your preparation is not a workaround for a weakness. It is a genuine strength.
Most native English speakers walk into difficult conversations without a structure, without a clear purpose, and without having thought about their words at all. You are doing more than they are, and the results show.
The difficult conversation in English you have been putting off does not get easier with time.
It gets heavier.
What you need is already in front of you: a clear structure, a practiced opening, and the courage to begin.
That much I know for certain, and it applies in any language. Frequently asked questions: what is a difficult conversation in English for non-native speakers? A difficult conversation in English is any workplace exchange that requires emotional precision, assertiveness, or conflict resolution conducted in a second language. For non-native speakers, this adds the pressure of word retrieval and tone calibration on top of an already stressful interaction, making preparation essential.
How do you prepare for a difficult conversation when English is your second language?
Write out your key points in advance and rehearse them aloud. Focus on 3 things: what happened, how it affected you with work, and what you need going forward.
Keep your language plain and direct. Practice until the words feel natural, not memorized.
What should you say if you lose your words mid-conversation in English?
Say exactly that. Phrases like give me a moment to find the right words or I want to say this carefully are professional and buy you the time you need.
Most people respect the effort. Silence and honest pauses are far better than rushed and clear language.
How do you handle a difficult conversation in English without sounding aggressive or passive?
Use a clear structure. Name what happened, describe their impact, and state what you need. Avoid apology words that undercut your message, but also avoid blunt declarations that skip context.
Practiced, specific language lands as confident, not aggressive.
The script matters more than your accent.
Can you have a difficult conversation in English by email instead of in person?
Written English can help non-native speakers who need extra time to choose words carefully.
However, difficult conversations lack the tone signals of face-to-face exchange and are easily misread.
Use email only to confirm what was agreed in a spoken conversation, not to replace it.
What are the most common mistakes non-native English speakers make in difficult conversations?
The three most common are over-apologizing before saying anything of substance, using vague language to avoid conflict, and rehearsing so rigidly that any deviation causes panic. Each of these undermines the message.
Specific language, a clear structure, and flexible preparation all correct these habits. Thank you for listening.
If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way.
115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them.
Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.